Anyam Home is a space where we can all engage about self-love, self-worth, relationships, trauma, and healing. I hope that you enjoy your stay, and I am your host, Tando. Hey everyone, welcome to yet another episode of Anyam Home. Thank you for coming back. This is episode 2 of the pre-season. I have decided that I'm only going to have 2 episodes. I know initially I said 3, but the timeline is only allowing for 2. And then we're going to go into season 2. And I had a different episode planned before this, and that's why this one is a little bit delayed. But a different conversation took place on Twitter as a result of one of my replies to a tweet asking, why do relationships not last longer than 2 months anymore? And I responded that a lot of us fall in love with potential, and potential can only take you so far. And I was asked to unpack that conversation. And so I think it's going to be interesting for me to do it in more words than a thread, because I also think like a lot of people had contributions to the conversation, and I want to carry the conversation on. And so I'm going to be having that episode, or rather this episode, as a bonus episode, because in November we're going to be speaking about men's mental health, and then in December we're going to be talking about our blessings and preparing for the new year. So this episode I'm choosing to title it "Stop Falling in Love with Potential." That is my biggest lesson in love, and it took me such a long time to actually realize why I was falling in love with potential. I will unpack all of that, but before that, if you are new to this platform, this is Anyam Home. If this is the first episode you're coming across, I am glad that you chose to press play, and I hope that you will stay longer. If you are returning, thank you so much for the undying support and for always choosing to come back. Thanks for the engagements, for the love. I see all of it. I appreciate all of it, and I will forever be grateful for how welcoming everyone has been. So let's get into this episode. I hope it is fruitful for you, and I hope that it is something that can open your mind if you are still, you know, in the dating pool and you're trying to leave the dating pool. It is something that a lot of people don't fully understand, and I also really didn't understand it until I started evaluating why a lot of my talking stages were not progressing into relationships, and it all boiled down to the fact that I fell in love with potential. So I always see tweets or videos about how talking stages should only be 2 days or 3 days or a week, and you know what? At some point, I used to agree with it because I thought, okay, that's saving time and we can be official and enjoy our life as an official couple. But to be quite honest, you are wasting a lot more time by not being sure about the person that you're going into a relationship with, in comparison to if you took your time getting to know the person so that by the time you actually are in the relationship, you are 100% certain that that person is your person and that's what you want to go into. We rush into stuff now. We talk over the phone for, you know, like 5 hours, 6 hours, 7 hours. And it feels amazing. That rush is what everyone seeks to experience. And that adrenaline is what drives our desire to actually make the relationship official. But how often have you seen couples make it official after the first date, and 3 weeks, 4 weeks down the line, the relationship blows up in flames? And that is because we are not honest in that phase of the talking stage or the honeymoon phase. And I have concluded that I will never focus on the honeymoon phase ever again. And I think it is given the name honeymoon phase for a reason. That is when you feel all the emotions associated with making something official, and comes from couples going, you know, away for their honeymoon, and they go on vacation, and it's just the two of them. And obviously, the more time you spend with your partner, the more you feel like you are meant to be with that person. And that is exactly what we do these days. We go on one date and we spend every other day together. Spending that much time with someone will make you feel like that is supposed to be your person, because obviously you feel so much closer to them. And even when you guys are not together, you're spending so much time on the phone. If you speak to someone from when you wake up to when you go to bed, you're obviously going to fall in love. You're obviously going to feel as if that person is putting in all the effort, and that should be a reflection of how they will be the entire relationship. But a lot of people are guided by the adrenaline. That feeling of security, that feeling of this person is putting in effort is amazing. We all want that. We all want someone who's going to call us every single day. But when reality hits and someone doesn't call us for a day, now we are feeling uncertain. We are shaken. And what that honeymoon phase always does is it removes you from your own individualism. Like, we forget about being individuals and we do every single thing with this person. We spend, I don't know, probably 90% of our days being consumed by this relationship, this new relationship. It is amazing. Newness is always amazing. Feeling those new feelings, especially when someone doesn't remind you of anyone else or any experiences that you've had before. It might feel like this is something that you need to invest in, but you always need to be very cautious to not let go of your individual self. And again, I noticed in my own life that because I'm a person who is very strong-willed and I don't tend to let go of my individualism when I am in a relationship, it's easier for me to move on from relationships because I still have something to fall back on. But a lot of people go into the talking stages or into situationships or the dating life or relationships and forget about their own lives. Before you're anyone else's partner, you are your own person and you need to treat yourself like that. You need to still go for dates with your friends. You still need to learn some things by yourself. You still need to have your time alone. You still need to read. You still need to do all the things that you used to do before the person came into your life, so that if the relationship does fall apart, you still have something to fall back on. And for me, it looks a lot like not training with my partners. I've never had a partner that I actively trained with at the gym because that is my own thing. It might seem like I never want to be in a position where my partner and I could potentially grow in that space, but I decided a while back that gym is something that is so close to my heart and something that I really care about, that I do every single day, that I don't want for it to ever have a negative view or some tainting to it because I used to do it with someone and now I can't go to the gym or can't go to that gym. And I want to be able to do my own thing at my own time and still keep to me being by myself for at least an hour. And I also do actively remove myself for a couple of hours in the day just to be able to do my stuff. Usually I distract myself with work or reading or going to the gym or being with my family and alternating weekends. One weekend you're with your friend, the next weekend you are with your partner. But that all boils down to being able to discern what things you should be doing with your partner and what things you should be doing by yourself. There will be things that will integrate. On the topic of integration, I also think friendship circles shouldn't integrate, but that's obviously up to someone. There are people who are able to fully integrate friendship circles, but my only problem with the integration of circles is that loyalty has now become skewed to the other side, and where you feel like someone should have been loyal to you, they won't be loyal to you. And it will hurt when someone chooses your partner to be loyal to over you in a situation where you feel like they should have been loyal to you, given principle and given the context of the situation. But have your own friends. Have friends that are mutuals. Be chill with his friends, her friend, their friend. And then allow them to also be chill with your friends. But at the end of the day, have your own people, be your own person, and just slow down. Slow down. There is so much beauty. I said this in my first episode. There's so much beauty in taking things slow. There's so much beauty in waiting. And this is also a lesson to, you know, people who always say talking stages should be 2-3 days. Look into the talking stages that you've had that were 2-3 days and evaluate if anything good ever came from it. The chances are so slim. There are people who are so lucky that they meet the person today, they date tomorrow, and they live the rest of their lives together. it happens. It really does happen. But most times you really need to know someone, and you need to know that you can actually fully exist with that person, because you are going to go through so many phases together. I like knowing how a person reacts in different phases. So how are you when you're mad? How are you when you're angry? How are you when you're extremely happy, when you're down and out, before I can make the decision to be with you? Because it's nice to make the decision when we are happy. But we're not going to be happy every single day. So if I can't feel close to you in every phase of your life, then is it really worth us making the relationship official? The other thing is, we project positivity onto the other person. And what I mean by this is, you have a fantasy and you have an idea of how you want a relationship to be, and you have an idea of what you want, and you project it onto that person. So in essence, you're falling in love with the potential of who they could potentially be for you, and not who they actually are. And this is the scariest thing ever, because you don't realize that you're doing that until it's too late. You will be thinking, this person is perfect because they have things in common with me, and they like things that I like, and they act a certain way, and they present themselves a certain way. But are they thinking about you like that? So we project our idea of love and romance and relationships onto the person, and we expect them to execute that image, and they rarely ever do that. So knowing someone, getting to know someone, allowing for things to happen organically. And this is why I also think relationships that are built on friendships are ones that usually last a lot longer, because you've been with this person for such a long time that you know them like you know yourself, and you're able to show up for them even without them asking you to show up for them in a certain way, because you have been there in similar situations and you're able to show up for them. But sometimes, obviously, you know, things do hit the fan and it ruins the friendship. But genuinely, if you've had a friendship with someone and you've taken things slow with the person, the relationship tends to work out a lot better. And a relationship built on friendship has the best foundation, which is solid, because that's respect. If I am to do something, I'm going to consider the fact that you were my friend first, and I'm going to respect you on the basis that I've known you for such a long time, and I know what makes you tick and what doesn't make you tick. But I'm not saying that you don't respect people you've known for a short period of time, but I'm just saying that in instances where disrespect is on the line, you will always choose to respect your friend and your best friend and your partner, because in essence, you're going to lose so much more in that person than if it was just, you know, a relationship that was started off a facade and started off this feeling of adrenaline of what you could potentially do for me. Because I mean, whether I lose you or not, I can always do that with someone. And there are people who are addicted to that adrenaline. And that is why you'll find people who are always in talking stages and never really in relationships, because they don't want that feeling of settling down. And I recall a time in my life where I thought talking stages or the beginning of relationships are meant to be filled with so much heat and so much passion and so much adrenaline. But now that I look at it, I think that came from me wanting to constantly feel the validation that this is what is right. And I could only ever feel validated if I was constantly on a high. But the lows were so low that it distracted me from my own life and from the things that I could be doing. And also, leaving the relationship was always hard. And I would think to myself, it was just a talking stage. Why are you so hurt? And that's because I was so attached to that feeling, but more than that, I was attached to the potential of who this person could be. So now I don't mind having talking stages that are actually, in air quotes, boring, because they might seem boring, but in essence, they're just healthy. And I had to think a lot about what that actually looks like, and it looks a lot like peace. You know, when things are peaceful, yes, you still feel the heat, the adrenaline, the passion, but not as intense as when it's all covered in this idea of who I want you to be and how I want you to be. And so when you do call me 5 times a day, I think, yes, you are definitely obsessed with me and you're in love with me and there's absolutely nothing you can do wrong in my eyes. Whereas if you do have that healthy balance of the rush and the heat and moments of silence and moments of having uncomfortable conversations, you become closer to the person and you will choose when you wake up the next day, do you still want to continue with this? Given that this person has their shortcomings and given that this person, at any point in time, that heat can subside and it can all be silent, would you still be there with that person? So you need to explore all the phases of someone's emotions and the phases that they could potentially go through in life and then decide if you want to be with this person. It is hard to slow down because we all want to have this one person that we call every day to tell them how our days were, to tell them how we're doing, someone to do life with. But it is generally not worth always going through talking stages that leave you so damaged, because sure, it might feel like that was the best part of the love, or that's the best love you've ever experienced, but obviously it will feel like that if you experienced, in essence, love bombing, where you experienced all these really good emotions in short bursts and then all of a sudden you wake up and it's all gone. So you need to be able to maintain a certain threshold before you're able to make the relationship official. And there shouldn't be a timeline. I think what should happen is we should decide based on our readiness and based on our ability to know what to do in certain situations that involve our partner, and also given the change that will occur in both our lives, would we be able to call this person and say, hey, listen, I need you right now, and knowing that that person will show up for you. And there are a couple of questions that you can ask yourself to determine if you are ready for an official relationship with this person. And I think one of them is, do you see this person in your life in the near future? I know we shouldn't be aspiring to having someone fully in our lives for a very long time, but I think if you don't see someone fully integrating into your life, you are less likely to respect them because there's nothing to lose for you. Because in any case, I never saw you in my life for that long. And I really do think, yes, in as much as we shouldn't be aspiring to have all of our relationships be long term, but at least see them in the near future. And the near future looks different for every single person. And it also allows you to preserve the nature of the relationship and to work for the relationship. Because if you do see it in the near future, you are going to work for that relationship. Once you start feeling like you are so over this relationship, then it's time, obviously, for you to leave the relationship. But if you don't see it becoming anything, why entertain it in any case? Why collect the trauma? Why collect all of those memories? And why also expose someone to the possibility of them catching feelings and obsessing over you if you actually don't see anything in the near future with this person? And the second thing to ask yourself is, are you filling a void with this person? That, for me, I should have probably said first, because that's the most important thing for me. I tend to ask my friends a lot when they do go into talking stages, have you healed from your previous one? Have you healed from your relationship? Have you healed from all the traumas that you could project onto that person? Are you going into this relationship or talking stage to fill that void or to show off to your previous partner that, hey, look, I've got somebody, I don't care about you, I'm good now? And I see this happen a lot with people who have attachment issues. They tend to want to always have someone in their lives just so that they feel like they have a good foundation and to also feel like something is going right in their lives, because we are able to control the relationship and control the direction of the relationship. But I would advise for people like that to have control over other aspects of their lives. So go to the gym. Gym is a really, really, really good starting point if you want to gain control over your life, because you gain control over your emotions, your mental well-being, your physical well-being, and you think a lot better. you process things a lot better, you're happier a lot more often. And so having control over other aspects of your life also allows you to distribute the rest of the control on different aspects of your life. So having that core thing and focusing on that core thing and allowing for that core thing to not fall apart at the mercy of every other thing happening in your life. And that's one thing that always happens with relationships. I don't know why, but there's so much power that a relationship has over our lives, both positive and negative. There are times when you will be in a relationship with someone who encourages your growth. And when you do, you know, experience that relationship and that love, experience all of it and nurture it and take care of it. But on the other end, there are relationships that will expose the negativity in you. They will stall you. You will feel like your world is falling apart. And even when you do leave, things keep falling apart. So just be very careful with why you go into partnerships and be very protective over your own energy and hold yourself to really high regard. Don't just engage with anyone for the sake of filling a void. Rather be on your own until you are okay and able to cultivate really good relationships than going into relationships solely because you want to show your previous person that you're doing all better and you're better than them and you know, I'm in a better space, or trying to forget someone by being with someone. It's also not fair for that other person. So take really good care of your emotions. Take really good care of the people that you engage with and be honest with you. And the last one is, what exactly is it that you want from this specific relationship? Yes, love will always be the answer, but relationships need to be very practical. There is absolutely no reason why you should be with someone who doesn't benefit you in any way, because we are selfish like that. We only ever keep people around if we benefit, and that's okay. That should be the motive. If you don't benefit in any way from a relationship, that means you are always the one who is giving. There should be mutual benefits in any relationship, platonic or non-platonic. And what the benefits should look like should be peace, happiness, joy, contentment, fulfillment. If a person doesn't come into your life with peace, why do you keep them around? I don't think it should ever be about the material stuff, because the material stuff, at any point in time, you could wake up and they could be gone. If all of those things are taken away, are you able to do life with this person? Is this person your partner? That's why it's a partnership. We meet each other halfway. Are you able to go back at the end of the night and say, yo, listen, I'm going through this and I need someone to speak to? Are they the first person you think about when you're going through something? Are they someone who you could introduce to your friends, to your family members? And I know we have, you know, this idea around introducing our partner to our family, but I have some friends who are not people of color. And one thing I've realized in that pattern is, in Black communities, we don't introduce people, we don't introduce our partners, nor are we free to speak about our relationships to our parents, because there was never that space created. And that is why some of our relationships don't even last, because you can't ask for advice from your parents. I'm sure if you were able to ask openly and honestly for advice from the older people in your household, your relationships would be so much better. And when you are in a position to introduce the people, your family members can pick up if this person is good for you or not from their actions, from how they interact with you. But we don't have that liberty, so we rely a lot on our own intuition, and sometimes your intuition will fail you when emotions are also involved, because your emotions will always override your intuition. And that is why sometimes you need to be alone to get in touch with your intuition, so you know how to respond, when to respond, and the things that you need to look out for, the green flags, the red flags, and also just taking time to learn from your previous talking stages, situationships, and relationships. But I think the bottom line is, if we were able to speak openly about the people that we are with, able to introduce those people, able to spend time with those people's friends and families, our relationships would be so much easier and so much better. But we don't have that, so we're relying a lot on conversations like these, questions that are always posed on Twitter, and also just investigating other people's experiences. For me, I do love sharing my own experiences so that a lot of people can see that there will be times when love really finds you and it'll be the most beautiful thing. But there will be times also where love doesn't find you, where you are actually located by lessons and you need to learn those lessons so that you can eventually find the love that you desire. But one thing I know for sure, there is someone who is going to take care of you. There is someone who's going to make it easy for you to love them. There is someone who's going to show you that you were not asking for too much. And there's someone who's going to just come into your life and make sense. But until you are able to answer the three questions that I posed with as much honesty as possible, I don't think you will be able to move from falling in love with potential to actually picking the right people. And even when you do see yourself falling in love with the potential, what is your reaction to that realization? When you realize that you are moving too fast, what's your answer? Do you slow down? Do you have the conversation with the person about slowing down? And have these uncomfortable conversations. If you can't have uncomfortable conversations with someone, what makes you think you can be a couple that will last the test of time? So introduce these conversations very early on, create the safe space, and make sure by the time you say yes to being this person's partner, you understand how they operate fully as a person. Yes, they will evolve and change as you guys go, but are you okay with the core of who they are? And are you willing to grow with this person? So that is all I have to say. Well, not really all I have to say, but that is all for today. Do follow me, guys, on Twitter. I do speak a lot about these kind of conversations on Twitter. And it's always a space for us to just learn from each other, bounce off our opinions on each other. And I really do appreciate people who always give an input, and for people also who are very open-minded, because for us to be having these kind of conversations, we need to be willing to open ourselves up to different perspectives. So thank you so much for coming to this part of the episode. This will be the end of the preseason. I'm very excited for men's mental health. If you guys do have any questions or you want anything covered in the next couple of weeks, do send me a message. I will get back to it. I know I take time to get back to messages, but I eventually do. I eventually get back to all of my messages. Thank you so much to everyone who has been leaving me reviews. Please do rate the podcast and also give me feedback so I can know where to improve. I can know what type of topics you guys want me to cover. But until next time, I love you so, so much, and I wish you all the best. Goodbye.